Hey, Central Ohio, the nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
The Survivor Specialist Film Will are back, and today we are recapping episode number 12 of Survivor 48. Only one episode remains, and tonight Shaheen goes home in sixth place. We see, I don't know, maybe this is a blindside, maybe it's not. I would classify this as a blindside for sure.
Total blindside.
I got to make sure, because the David thing, you're like, well, I knew it was coming, so I don't want to come in hot saying, well, obvious blindside, you know?
I mean, there's blindsides for the players, and then there are blindsides for the audience, and then sometimes they overlap. You know, now you have a blindside Venn diagram, and then that middle spot are the best blindsides, where the audience doesn't see it coming, and the player doesn't see it coming. I would argue tonight that we kind of saw this one coming. If we, you know, think about going into Tribal Council, was there any chance Shaheen wasn't going home? I think maybe a 3-3 tie potentially was on the table, but I do kind of, this happens sometimes. You're like, you know, you're watching the episode and then, all right, how close are we to 8:30? Oh, it's already, or whatever the what is the time?
9:30. Back? Oh, 9:30. Now, Will's used to watching on the West Coast here. So
right.
That's his problem.
So you're watching and it's like, how much time's left? There's not enough time for a revote. So I guess it has to be Shaheen, because there's no way, there is no world where there were four votes going to anyone else. Like, that was not happening. So I wouldn't say I was surprised, but let's give this season some credit. Let's give it some kudos. I mean, I was very adamant last week that these last two episodes could be potentially all-time Survivor episodes, best Survivor episodes we've ever seen. And the season still would be a pretty meh bottom-tier season. I still believe that, but I'm happy with what we saw tonight. I thought this was a lot of fun. Lots to break down and get into, so I'm excited to have this conversation. We're not just going to berate the show and be negative, and I know that some people love that. It seems like people actually really enjoyed us ripping into this season last week, but that bothers some people, and now we get to praise this episode because I thought this was really good.
Yeah, we had, I think, over 200 people watching live last time, and I know we're starting late here, but we're about half of that right now. So yeah, people are like, well, that was fine, so we don't need to go listen to Phil and Will bitch and complain. I was defending this season pretty hard up until the final eight. And I think the last two episodes were terrible. Like, you know, I don't know how much more on the record we need to be about how bad the last two episodes of Survivor were from an editing standpoint, from a gameplay standpoint. Nothing made sense. I thought tonight's episode was excellent. And as somebody who wasn't as low on this season as you have been pretty much since the start, like you were pretty low on this since the pre-merge. I thought that it was silly with the lost votes and stuff. But for the most part, I was into the season. I was willing to give it time. I completely felt abandoned by the season for the final eight and final seven. But tonight's episode was really good. I thought tonight was a great episode. I thought Kyle and Camilla overplayed their hands. But in reality, what they did is they just know Joe that well at this point, and they have built up such a relationship with the people who are left in the game that they were able to take this totally harebrained harebrained scheme. That's the word. They were able to take this and make it work in a way where I said, why are you overcomplicating this? Shaheen's giving you Eva, take Eva, or just figure out a way to spin it and say, Joe, this is what's happening. We need to make this move, or figure out how with Mitch you can make it a 3-2-1, something like that. So I thought this was going to backfire, and it didn't. And I think that just speaks to the social game that Kyle is playing, that Joe went and attacked Shaheen essentially and put him on the spot. And Shaheen knew something was up, could feel that something wasn't right. And yet Joe never asked the question directly. And because of that, Shaheen never actually has anything to defend himself on, because he doesn't know what he's being attacked for. It was brilliantly executed by Kyle and Camilla. I am super pumped for the way they played this. And I do think that one of them is going to ultimately come out as the winner of Survivor 48, playing a very, very subtle, great game of Survivor.
I do too. I think we are in for a Camilla or Kyle win. Let's show this comment from Ryder. Once I saw the second Mitch vote, I was so nervous we were fooled by the edit. I like Shaheen, but love blindsides more. I agree with this. The second Mitch vote, I went, oh, wait a second. Like, there's no way. Because I'm there's not going to be a 3-3. I don't know how we would ever arrive at a 3-3 with the amount of time left in the episode, unless we ended it on a cliffhanger. I started, that crossed my mind. Are we going to end on a 3-3? And then it's like finale part one, finale part two. And then the second part of this, I like Shaheen, but love Blindsides more. I got to agree. I was a big Shaheen fan. He was my winner pick before the season. I enjoyed him on the show. But we needed something here. Like, we needed something. And I'm sorry for Shaheen that he had to go out this way. But you are right. This was executed very well by Colin Camilla. I was getting the similar vibes earlier on, especially because this plan was kind of coming together before the immunity challenge. And often when you see that happening, it's like you're getting set up for this plan to rise. And then you also have enough time left for that plan to then fall apart. And I thought this was going to come back onto Kyle and Camilla. That was my first instinct. But somehow it didn't. I mean, when they first tossed out the plan, I was actually kind of confused on what exactly they were. It was so quick. It was like, well, we're gonna flip onto Shaheen instead of flipping onto Joe and Eva. And there's gonna be an idol. And then were you picking up exactly on the execution of this plan early, or did you need to see it play out later and then it clicked?
I was understanding what they were doing, but I felt like it was going to get the exact response that it ultimately ended up getting from Joe, which was, I don't know what you're talking about. And right. when that happens, then that leads to the stumbling and the fumbling and, oh no.
Like, no, listen to me. No, like, yeah. Let me just say it again. And like, because especially when you're lying and you got to be ready to answer every question. Like, you can't be like, well, let me think. No, it was 2 days ago when Shaheen showed the idol. I didn't want to come to you. When did I know? Wait, no, she told me yesterday a reward. Oh, wait, we weren't on a reward together. Like, you there's so many ways to get caught. So, but I guess, like, again, I thought this was risky. Especially, I thought this idea before the challenge was, it was like, okay, we want to upset the apple cart here. Instead of taking out Joe, let's go after Shaheen. This is before Joe had won immunity. So I almost appreciate this more if it were a pivot from like, okay, let's go after Joe, but Joe wins. Let's do this instead. This was the plan from the start. What did you think about that? That they're like, they landed on Shaheen as the target instead of landing on Joe or Eva.
I think that what has happened here, and Shaheen says it in this episode, he says, Eva's not a threat to win this game. Eva is a goat. Okay. That is 100% a fact in this game. She is riding Joe's coattails. Nobody is going to vote for Eva to win at the end of this game. There's nothing strategic that she has done that can differentiate her game from the rest of the people. So I think that's why they want Eva to stay in the game. When this plan came up from Shaheen and Kyle's initial reaction was, oh, we should get Shaheen instead. I think that this was a big time instance of them understanding threat level better than the audience does. Why would the editors really build up Shaheen as this massive, massive, massive winner threat when he's not even going to make the finale? And I think that's maybe what happened here. And I think Kyle and Camilla saw Shaheen as a bigger threat to their game because he's playing a similar game, right? We kept hearing about the game of chicken here, which I called a couple of weeks ago. I said, Kyle's scared to make the move right now because he wants Shaheen to make it with them. He doesn't want to make it on his own. Because we're hearing about this game of chicken, I actually think that that is a big reason why they ultimately went for Shaheen here, because if Kyle and Camilla sit next to Shaheen, it's how do we differentiate our game? If you sit next to Joe and Eva, you say, here's every move I made. All Joe did was win immunities. He literally has not made another move in this game other than win immunities. And if that's what you want to reward somebody for, then go ahead and do it. But if you sit next to Shaheen and you allow him, as Kyle said, to make the move that he wants to make, that is not the game you want to play. He said, I want to make my move, not Shaheen's move, because they're playing such a similar game. Shaheen probably beats him. And I think that's what Kyle and Camilla saw, is who's a threat to us. It's Shaheen. It's not Joe and Eva.
Yes, and I also find it fascinating how it's been established here for a little bit, and it seems Kyle and Camilla both know this, that Joe is the front runner, that he's the one leading the majority alliance. He's winning all the challenges. Like, we're not going to beat Joe, okay? He's the top guy. And I don't know if we've seen this strategy before, Phil, where you have the biggest threat remaining in the game, and usually your goal is eliminate that person. That's usually the goal. But here, Kyle and Camilla say, instead of eliminating Joe, let's pull a move over on Joe, take somebody else out, and even go to the end with him, and that's fine. But then we'll have this over his head. We will pull off a move that he's a part of, but he doesn't know that we are in cahoots together and that this is a total line that we played him. I think this is pretty unique Survivor gameplay that I'm really trying to rack my brain for a comparison where it's like, we know this is, you know, jury threat number one. She or he gets to the end. We are cooked. Let's now try to outplay them instead of eliminate them. So I like that approach from Kyle and Camilla here.
We have this super chat here from Panda of Pizza, who says, is it possible that Joe gets second by pulling a coach, aka choking a Final Tribal Council? This could kind of, what you're talking about here, be akin to Sophie, whereas you're watching South Pacific, it seems like coach is going to win, and you're saying to yourself, why are they voting out Brandon? Why are they voting out Rick? Why are they voting out like Edna? Who cares about those players? And coach is like, Sophie just outplays him and knows that she can out argue him at the end. I think that there's a lot of similarities between Joe and coach, which sounds absurd because they're so different on the screen. But I think from what style of game they're going to claim they played at Final Tribal Council, that's where the similarity is. And I think right now, Shaheen is a massive fan of Survivor, right? This guy was an alternate for 46. He's been a diehard fan. He talked about his relationship with his mom tonight. He is not voting for Joe just because he likes Joe. When he finds out how Joe ultimately was tricked into voting him out of the game, that is going to be a respect point from Shaheen, not a negative. Shaheen will vote for the person who pulled that off. David, I've already said, is not voting for Joe. That is two people on the jury right now who already aren't voting for Joe, and you have two more people that are going to get sent to the jury. And I'll tell you this, Mitch is a massive fan too. Camilla's not going to vote for Joe if Kyle's sitting at final three. Vice versa is also true. And then you sit there and you start to say, well, what about the earlier jury? I don't know, but I agree with you. This is very interesting gameplay where you've neutralized Joe's game. Because now when you sit at Final Tribal, you can say, Joe was the leader, but we called all of the shots, so we deserve to win. And I also think it was a very interesting decision from them of the discussion point of, we don't want to send Joe or Eva to the jury yet because they're going to advocate so hard for the other person. And this is something that Sam talked about on the predictions and power rankings for this week. He was saying how, you know, you don't want to send somebody like final six is kind of that spot where the advocate can really still change minds because they've seen so much of the game and they can be the person who kind of says, no, this is the one who's playing the best game and the other people don't have enough time, the next two people who are voted out. So that was an interesting point of, if we send Joe to the jury, he advocates for Eva. Maybe that curries her some favor. If Joe goes at four, he doesn't have enough time to convince people that Eva played the best game. And if Eva goes at four, she's not going to be able to go and tell everybody, well, Joe did this, Joe did that, because they have one night and they're starting the next day. Kyle and Camilla can make their argument and it's there. So I think that played into this too.
Yes, a few things there, Phil, because that was a good long-winded rant. I love it. But I got to reply to what? I don't like this Coach Joe comparison. I mean, I kind of see where you're going with it, but it's not. See, in South Pacific, it's Sophie realizing, hey, I can beat Joe or I can beat Coach. Let's take Coach to the end. I want to sit next to him. I can beat him. We've played similar games. That's fine. Here is very different. It's Kyle and Camilla admitting we cannot beat Joe currently, but let's arrange the rest of this game in a way where we can. And that is very different than Sophie and Coach in South Pacific. And I think this is very new. And I like that gameplay. It's not just take out the biggest threat. Let's outplay the biggest threat. And also you could argue, and maybe they had this thought also, but like Kyle and Camilla did pull one over on Joe and Shaheen pre-merge. And I know that's a long time ago. I don't know if the jury will even care, but they can point at this move and point at the move in the pre-merge. Like, look, we got you twice, buddy. Like, you had no idea. Like, when you went through my bag for the idol, Camilla told me. We were already in cahoots. I know we pretended not to like each other, but we've been number ones the whole time. So they can fall back on that in addition to the making up this complete lie, this complete strategic game move here at Final Six. That gives them a lot of ammunition where it's almost like preferable, I think, if you're Kyle or Camilla. I want Joe to sit there because Joe is going to feel overconfident with his challenge wins. He's going to feel overconfident strategically about leading this loyal and honest alliance. And then you kind of, you know, pull the rug out from under him and say, hey, this has not been an honest alliance at all. We've been lying to you the entire time. So get cooked, get played. And maybe Joe is a zero vote finalist, or maybe he gets one vote from Eva or two votes. I think that I'm into that. I'm into that idea. And I think that is that's a lot of fun.
And James Barber says it here. They manipulated him into voting David too. Like, so far, the people, like what Camille and Kyle have done excellently.
Shaheen was very much involved in getting David out. Shaheen was not in, like, he was a very big cog in that machine to push the vote onto David. It wasn't just another Kyle or Camilla.
Well, as Wesley White says here, they also get Joe to take out David, and Shaheen can't claim it since he's now on the jury. So Shaheen can, though, also come out and say, we convinced Joe that David was going to flip on him. And then that didn't work. And then what happened? And then that gets David voted out when David was never actually coming for Joe. And then what happens? Now Kyle and Camilla do it again. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. And that seems to be the case here. Joe is being outplayed strategically. Look, from the personal content, Joe's content tonight was absolutely incredible. Okay. Like, that was the stuff where even if Mitch goes home tonight, I sit there and I say, this episode is automatically way better than the last two because of the personal content we got from Joe, his reason, right? What he was doing, this really emotional, what happened with his sister. And like, his, if I understand correctly, this thing with his sister happened over a decade ago. So this is something that has really been, he's been living with, and it's been eating at him, and he's achieving her dream here, right? And you think about the regret and all that. This guy has an amazing storyline. He's won 4 immunity challenges. If he wins one more, he ties the 6 or 7 or 8 people, however many it is, for the most wins in Survivor history. But when he sits at Final Tribal Council, it's what happened to Austin when he sat next to D. There is so much information that Kyle or Camilla can pull out against him that he's not aware of, that he's not ready for, that can be the body blow. And maybe one isn't going to be enough to outdo Joe. Like, maybe one big moment, one big shock moment to the jury isn't going to be enough to convince them. But there's 2 or 3 now, like you said, because you can go all the way back to the Thomas situation. You could have 3 moments that really blow everybody's minds. And we still have a whole finale to get to. I mean, this could be monstrous for whoever of Kyle and Camilla sits next to Joe. Now, again, this is assuming one of them sits there, though, too.
That one of them's going to sit there. We're actually getting so much foreshadowing, almost too much foreshadowing about how at least one of them's going to sit there. And I find it kind of odd, honestly, because this came up last week where it's like, here's our plan. Let's get one of us to sit there. I don't know. Did I bring this up on last week's recap? I don't know.
I think you did.
That, like, why is the plan, again, why is the plan not to get both of them there? Mm-hmm. Is it because they fear their games are too identical and that they will have the exact same argument and that they will then split the votes from the people that are going to vote for the best strategist and the most who wants to vote, like, emotionally and, like, the best guy or the challenge wins? Like, those votes will then go to Joe and then you're going to lose to Joe. Whereas if one of you sitting there, you can get the more strategic-minded votes. That must be it, I guess.
I mean, here's what
it comes down to. Why are they saying it so, like, they're saying it so matter-of-factly that it's, like, bugging me a bit. And then the show keeps including it so many times where I'm like, they're hitting us over the head with it, that only one of them is going to be there in Final Tribal Council. And so maybe this is foreshadowing to fire, because if they go head-to-head and fire, then obviously one of them makes it. So I don't know.
And that's what I'm thinking is, let's say Kyle wins immunity. Why not just take Camilla to you at the end? Let's say Mitch goes at 5. I'm just doing this for argument's sake, because I don't necessarily think Mitch will go at 5, but just for argument's sake.
I don't think so either.
Yeah, let's say Kyle wins immunity at Final 4. Take Camilla with you and let Joe and Eva battle it out at 5. That's the scary situation, right? You would want to take Eva with you probably and then let Joe and Camilla battle it out, because if Joe beats Camilla, you think that your game stands up against Joe's. If Camilla beats Joe, now you and Camilla go head to head and you feel that Eva's a goat. Maybe she gets Joe's vote, but she's not going to get enough to negate the fact that you two are splitting your votes. But Joe could get enough. Joe could be somebody who wins, I don't know what the math is, but a 4-2-2 or a 3-3-2 gets the third place vote, which he wouldn't in that situation. But you know what I'm saying? Like, he could win a plurality here where Eva can't do that. So I think if you get down to Final 4, and one of you wins immunity, you can't take the other. You have to put the other up against Joe in fire. And then if you go to the end against either Mitch or Eva, you win. If Joe gets there, now you rely on your strategic game and say, this is what I think makes me the best player. And you have your biggest advocate, yes, getting there late, but on the jury there right before the vote saying, guys, this is everything that happened. This is how Kyle or Camilla outplayed Joe in every single way.
Yeah, did you watch scenes from next week?
I did. Yeah, this week I actually did.
And they did, this did come up. I forget the exact line. It was, I think, Camilla to Kyle, like, I don't think either of us can sit next to each other. I think she says that.
She does.
And maybe now that we're just getting more explanation to this line of like, it's just weird, I guess, the order of it all. Like, if you give me the reasoning and I think it out, like, yes, it makes sense. Your games are similar. Like, the other one will be on the jury. Like, there are a lot of good reasons. But for two players actively in alliance to just be like, here is our ideal scenario. If everything goes according to the plan, one of us is in the final three. It's like, really? Is that scenario number one for you? Like, what if it's both of you and Eva, or both of you and Mitch? Like, shouldn't that be scenario number one for you? Because then at least if you don't win, your friend wins. I guess that's the scenario, but like, at least give yourself a chance.
Well, and it's funny because I just had to, I'm in the midst of putting the podcast out on Patreon for Australian Survivor Blood versus Water. And in that season, Sam and Mark are having those conversations, but they're married. They're not anymore. But at the time, they were married. So they're literally playing the game as a pair, saying one of us needs to go to the end. They have two idols at one point late in the merge. And it's like, I'm not going to play it to save you because it's better if I go to the end. And that's how Kyle and Camilla feel like they're playing this. But as far as I'm aware, I think I've met Camilla's husband. And I know I haven't met Kyle's wife, but I think she listens to the podcast, and I don't think it's Camilla. So it's like, they're not married. So only one of them can get the $1 million. And as Will and I also discussed on Patreon, when we talked about our biggest conspiracy theories or ones that we believe, there's always the thing around Nicaragua of, was Sash not allowed to get votes because he tried to split money with Jane? You can't be splitting money on Survivor. If they catch wind of that, that's a big deal. So
that is not one of our favorite conspiracy theories. If you want to hear us dive into Survivor conspiracy theories, if this kind of, what's the beak a little bit, or what's your taste buds, if you want more of that, check it out on Patreon. That's not the best one.
No, but it's one that we discussed. I want to throw this up, though, because this was an early one from St. Cliffo. I'd probably give Joe 97.4% to win now. Did you hear Blake say this on the podcast last time? That if he was...
I think I might have. I listened to Digging Deeper last week. I don't know if I heard him say that.
Did you listen? Well, did you listen to the Sam episode? Because I know
I remember you quoting like, yes. I did listen brilliant. To Sam. Sam, by the way,
dude, wow. He's on Snuff and Torches right now, and that's if we're not getting numbers because of that, but I have to say, and I'm gonna tell everybody now, 22 minutes in, tomorrow, predictions and power rankings finale is happening tomorrow. Because of some crazy weekend planning. And I am joined at 1:30 p.m. Eastern time by Tommy Smokes. He's going to be coming on, and me and him are going to be breaking down the finale and the final five. And I know he's actually pretty excited. But Sam is over there on the press. We're doing like a whole Inception thing right now. Like, we had Sam.
Good.
Now Tommy has him. Now Tommy's coming here. So that's going to be tomorrow. But Sam was great. And I said to him,
he was phenomenal. I really enjoyed his insight, especially as someone who was just out there in the new era and talking about the jury and all that. Just he was tremendous. So good job to Sam.
Yeah. And so He Blake had said that he says Joe has a 97.4% chance of winning. And I said, okay, let's talk right now about if we turn this into betting odds.
Betting odds,
Would you still do that? And it was like minus 3,600 or something. He said, yes. You're coming off of this episode right now. You have not been as Joe can't win as I have. Are you, our chat, No, but I don't think you've been to the extremist. Maybe I'm wrong. Our chat is blowing up with people just being like, Joe is winning this game. Over on Twitter, we're getting blown up with Joe is winning this game. I literally have not seen it, and I still don't. Like, I don't want to just be contrarian, but do you see it after tonight?
After the final eight episode, I said Joe's not winning. And then you gave him the Philly, and I said, this is where we have to decide on like what the Philly and Willie are. Are they based on what you did on the island, or is it based on the edit, based on what the show is telling us? And from that final eight vote, where it was basically just Joe and Eva being so overconfident and cocky. I believe that was the episode where it was like, we're going to flip on them. And then it just went star or Mary. I believe that episode. And I said, yeah, Joe's in a good spot. He might've even won immunity that episode. And then his alliance didn't flip on him. Everything looked good. And I said, from the edit, I almost give him like no shot to win. That's what I said. So I think I've been on that side of things. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think I was saying,
I've kept saying it's Cheyenne or Kyle. I mean, Cheyenne was my preseason pick. I rode with him for a bit, but I mean, yeah, I've been saying Cheyenne or Kyle, and it could be now it's Kyle or Camilla. Now I really do think we're down to,
we're down to two,
which is so funny because we were ripping into the season last week. And then the one kind of silver lining was like, you know what? The season's been a bore, at least the post merge. We don't really feel like we're kind of indifferent to who wins, but hey, good thing is out of the final six, we think five of the six can win. And that's really pretty rare for a Survivor season. And then one episode, it feels like it's dropped down to two. So,
And what's phenomenal about this, because this is, again, people were trying to make the old school Survivor argument and stuff like that. Why was tonight better than the previous episodes, right? Even though we knew Cheyenne was going home because there was no alternative vote, why was it better? Because the storytelling was so much better. The storytelling was so much better. They gave us, now that we're down to only feeling like two people can win. And look, if it's Joe, Eva, Mitch at final three, 8-0, game over, no questions asked. Maybe 7-1, maybe Mitch gets a stray here or there. But here's the deal. The conversations and the confessionals and what we saw take place, it all added up tonight in a way that it hasn't added up in the last two episodes. That's why I'm coming out of this super satisfied with the fact that I feel like there's only two people who can win. Because also a lot of people are talking about, well, what about Joe at Tribal Council with like the audio editing that was doing this and making him the main character and all that. It was up to Joe to be the deciding vote tonight. But just because he's the deciding vote, that doesn't mean he's going to win. How many people have been the deciding vote in Survivor history? And yeah, it's not always edited like this, but why not tell the story that way? This all came down to Joe, and what Cheyenne and Kyle were saying in those moments truly, truly, truly didn't matter. So I feel the storytelling tonight was great because I actually think that Joe's main character edit maybe of this episode was actually more about how this is going to set up his loss than his win. Just because you get a lot of screen time does not mean it's all good screen time. And Joe had phenomenal screen time tonight, but ultimately he made the wrong move. He should have voted Mitch out tonight. That is the better move. And so because of that, I think that this actually is the episode that defines why Joe loses more than why Joe wins.
Yeah. And I think we've been seeing this from Joe. I mean, at least I had seen this from Joe for a while where like he was, his goal, we heard him, was like, I want to take my majority alliance all the way down to final four and then do that final tribal council. That simply is not a winning game in new era modern Survivor. It's not. There are going to be other players that play harder than you and that pull off moves, and they are going to beat you. And we saw it here tonight. Like, the writing was on the wall for a little bit here. I get it. It was a good episode from Joe. I mean, the emotional stuff, absolutely. You said he was the deciding factor in the vote. I mean, yes and no. We're getting three votes onto Cheyenne, whether they flip, like Eva and Joe flip.
No, did you not see? So I saw
Camilla. Camilla threw a vote at Mitch.
I want to talk about that.
Which I guess was if, in defense of, I don't know, if they got spooked, they don't trust Kyle and Camilla, and then Eva can throw her idol at Cheyenne. Cheyenne plays the idol. Mitch writes down Camilla. Is that the defense on that one?
I'm pretty sure that that vote was to ensure that it's not a 3-3 tie, so there's not the emotional outburst afterwards. Now, that might be like, whoa, really? That's what they're thinking. These two people literally came up with the idea to fake an idol that's not in the game. And that's an idol that was established back during David times, right? And so what happens here is, let's say Joe and Eva don't flip. This is a 4-2 vote. Mitch goes home. Kyle comes back to camp looking good.
Wait. Go back. You're saying if Joe and Eva don't flip, it's a 4-2 vote? No, it'd be a 3-3 vote.
No, because Camilla voted for
Mitch. Okay. So you're saying
that's why.
I thought you were going through the thought process of the plan, not the actual plan.
No. So the actual plan is If Camilla does this, which she does, she places this vote and she knows Shaheen is doing that. If Joe and Eva both vote, it's 4-2, right? And now Mitch just goes home. Kyle comes back to camp looking fine because he goes, Camilla voted for Shaheen, even though that's a lie, even though Kyle's actually the one who voted for Shaheen. But by also,
well, isn't Camilla going to be like, didn't Kyle vote for, like, Shaheen knows there was two votes on him. Like, that's still going to cause an outburst, right?
I think they are still hiding the fact that their alliance is there, because also by doing this vote and making it 4-2, Camilla doesn't look like she was in on the plan now. So she goes back to camp and it doesn't look like Kyle tipped her off to anything. She just voted Mitch like she was told to. But if Joe and Eva stick with the plan and go for Mitch, Kyle looks good because he could be like, I don't know what you're talking about. Camilla must have been that other vote.
Yeah, and Joe Camilla and Mitch voted Shaheen. Yeah, I mean,
it's brilliant, honestly.
It is really damn good. I'm curious whether they thought that through, because it does make a lot of sense, Phil. I do like that theory. I was thinking potentially it was a way to block an idol, just like a, you know. Here we go. Was this Wesley? Is this what I'd said earlier? I think the plan was to
put a vote on Mitch. This is what you're pretty much saying now.
John playing his idol on himself and votes for Eva. It was part of the act. That did cross my mind too, that Camilla said, okay, let me put a vote on Mitch. And then she just followed through with that, knowing there wouldn't be an idol played. But in case this idol was played, that does make sense. Like, Joe, now that they've got Joe to believe this information, like, he fully understands or believes that Shaheen has this idol. Now, Joe, you tell us what to do. How should we vote? How should we split it up? And maybe that's what Joe said. All right, Camilla, you write down Mitch just in case Shaheen plays his idol. And now she followed his orders, and now, you know, they all look good. I like both theories. I think my theory that I tossed out originally was the worst, which would be, which I kind of want to talk through, because maybe it's not the worst. But if, let's say Joe, Eva, they side with Shaheen, and like that he said she said of it all, like they're gonna have to take one person's side of the story here. Like, let's say they confront Shaheen and say, this is what happened, and he goes, no, they're flying to you. And so now it's those three versus those three, and then they potentially play, they have Eva play the idol on Shaheen, because they know at this point if Kyle and Camilla are lying and that they have Mitch at this point for the flip, that they're gonna throw three votes on Shaheen. Then they are then gonna throw, I guess they throw three votes at Kyle at that point. Is that the plan?
I have no idea. That's where yours is more convoluted, because I think that gives too much strategic credit to Joe and Eva, who have not played a strategic game.
Yeah.
And I guess that's unfair, right? Because like their strategy is to just have a dominant alliance, and they've actually pulled that off masterfully. And that's why I actually think, though, you go into final five of this episode, right? Joe and Eva don't want to vote Kyle out because they don't know that they were lied to. And Mitch isn't going to tell them that this was a made-up story. Mitch might not even know it's a made-up story. And Camilla's not going to tell them it's a made-up story, because how does that benefit Camilla? So right now at Final Five, Mitch and Camilla are public enemy number one and public enemy number two. Then at Final Four, Kyle's still, like, if Joe wins immunity, he's going to take Eva to the final tribal council with him. And then that comes down to maybe a Kyle versus Mitch final four fire making challenge, where we're sitting there like, please, for the love of God, like, Kyle win this. No offense to Mitch, but there's no edit. He ain't winning. And so when I'm sitting there and you're watching that would be stressful as hell. But I do think that right now Kyle comes out of this looking like, Joe, I had your back. And even though Shaheen voted for Mitch, it's the same thing as when David voted for Mitch. Joe still felt that he was being betrayed, and he just took the initiative.
Yes, and I always say season 35, Heroes, Healers, Hustlers, is one of the most underrated seasons of Survivor, and I think it gets far too much hate for its ending with the Final Four fire-making introduction, and that was a secret. Hate that all you want. The season was actually pretty enjoyable throughout, and one of the best parts about it is Ben's double agent shenanigans, and I think it was the first time we had seen someone flip on their alliance but then go back to camp, and the alliance did not know that that person had flipped. And we're seeing it again here. It is something you rarely see on Survivor. And I mean, Kyle he's fine. Like, he can go back to camp and be like, dude, I'm glad we got him. I'm so glad he didn't play that idol, man. Yeah. I thought he was going to play it. I saw him kind of like look to Jeff and he didn't play it. I think Camilla even did a look where it was like, All right. Jeff says, if anyone has an advantage or idle, now is the time to play it. And they wait a beat. And then Jeff says, all right, I'll read the votes. And Camilla lets out this visual relief, just further selling that Shaheen has this idol when she knows it's just completely made up. That was a nice touch by Camilla there.
And it's really fascinating because I was watching this with my wife and she's like, when Joe's coming at Shaheen, she's like, Shaheen's handling this so poorly. And I was like, it's because Shaheen doesn't know what Joe's mad about. He has literally no idea what's going on. And that's what's so brilliant about what Kyle and Camilla did. And you're right. Then they're playing it up at Tribal. Then they go over. And what did Kyle say in one of his confessionals? He said, by making Joe think that Shaheen has an idol, he won't directly address him about it because he'll be scared that'll tip Shaheen off to play it, right? That's brilliant. Like, that really is so strategically sound. And again, we've been ripping the last 2 weeks, just ripping this season.
Ripping. Like,
but on a binge watch, knowing what takes place here, I do think that helps a season like this because Kyle and Camilla's gameplay right now and is unbelievable. And even Shaheen's, look, Shaheen is sitting there and he has very, very, very a lot of doubts and regrets probably about how he played the game, right? Waiting too long to make the move. Why did I let Joe get to this point? I should have done whatever. But if Shaheen gets through this vote and does take out Eva, that would have been, and I know it ultimately ended up falling off of that, but like, he could have been proud of that game and it could have been a winning game for Shaheen. And I think that's the craziest part about this season. It's been frustrating to see people not make moves, but there are three people right now who very legitimately can win the game. And like Mitch said at Tribal Council tonight, this has not worked out the way I wanted it to. And it feels like Mitch went in with a plan and doesn't know how to come back from it and can't figure out where to go. And he's kind of fallen into that Owen Jake situation of like, what do? I'm just going to throw my hands up. But I do think that we can get on the players for not making this move, not making this move, not making this move. Kyle and Camilla waited till final six. They have made three moves in this game. It was at final 15, final 9, and now final 6. They didn't need to make a move at 8 or 7 if it's ultimately going to lead to one of them winning the game. Really, the move that they need to make is to vote one of the other ones out so that the other can win, and which one's going to have, you know, the courage to make that move.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's our story from here on out, is which one of Kyle or Camilla get to the final three, and if they do get there, can they win against Joe? Now, that second question, I believe firmly, yes, that if Kyle is sitting there against Joe, I think Kyle wins. If Camilla is sitting there against Joe, I think Camilla wins. Our chat thoroughly disagrees. We're getting a lot of people saying Joe's winning, 100% Joe, pretty much nonstop Joe love. Another thing I want to bring up about this plan is that they set it up in a way where they weren't both going to get caught red-handed. Like, there was a world in which Joe doesn't buy it, but he says, you know what, Kyle, I think Camilla's lying to you. Like, that Camilla could take the fall for this, and then and Kyle still being okay and still being in their good graces. And now, hey, maybe that flips the vote onto Camilla, and that's a bad thing. Then they need to work around that. They need to somehow move votes around. But that was part of the clever part, where Eva and Joe are at the beach and Joe is saying anyone could be lying. And like, Cheyenne could be lying to us, but Kyle could have just made that up. But also Camilla could be making that up without Kyle even knowing. So it really put them in a pickle. And I don't necessarily blame, like, do you blame Joe and Eva for falling for this? Because it does.
Not at all.
Like, the way Shaheen has operated all season, it fits that he might have an idol. Like, he's someone that would go look for advantages, or maybe found one early, or someone that wouldn't tell you about an advantage because he's playing to win. He's been strategic, even though he hasn't made any big moves. It fits him. So I don't know. I mean, it would have been a very tough read here for Joe and Eva to just say, you know what? Kyle and Camilla have been working together the whole time and they're lying and they're setting us up. Like, that's a very tough thing to call out.
And that's you made that point 100% right. And I think that might be something some people missed watching this. 1000% Camilla puts her neck on the line more than Kyle here, but she also realizes that this is the only way she can win. She can't win if this move doesn't take place, right? So this is a massive move for Camilla. But you're right. If this backfires, if Joe says, I don't know about this, Kyle. I talked to Camilla and I was not sold at all. Kyle can just be like, look, man, I'm just telling you what she told me. If she's lying, she's doing a hell of a job lying. I didn't see it coming. Camilla, you now take the fall. Sucks, Camilla, you're out. This was a big move. This reminds me of in China when they vote out James, and it's Todd who knows that if James plays an idol, Todd is done, right? He knows he's done, but he knows it's the move he has to make because if James goes one more vote, he's done. He can't beat James. James will win an immunity. He has two idols. It's over. So I think that this was really, really impressive from both of them to understand that still we are 23, 24 days into the season. People still don't realize these two are working together. They still don't know what's happening. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, and maybe that's something that this season will benefit from. You know, if Kyle or Camilla goes on to win, which I do think is very likely, mm-hmm. and that they're able to, maybe they have a great fire-making challenge in the Final Four or some emotional vote out at Final Four. I need to get rid of you so I can win. And this is the story of Kyle versus Camilla, that this season can be appreciated on a rewatch a little bit better. I think you've maybe even mentioned that a couple times, that like week to week, sometimes these season with these like slow overarching plot lines, really they kind of suck live and you're kind of twiddling your thumbs for most of them. But when there is that core relationship or a pair, I mean, we've talked about it with kind of Wendell and Dom and Ghost Island and how awesome that ended, that maybe this season recovers or is at least more fun to win or watch on a rewatch. Because you're kind of looking at Joe, Eva, even Joe front running, and then this Kyle Camilla relationship subtly boiling throughout the whole season, yeah. and then popping up, you know, right in the penultimate episode. We only have one episode left here. They finally strike. It's been a while since they've really done anything. And I know we mentioned the David boot. The David boot was not only a while ago. We had a lot of moving parts involved with that vote. That way, and David kind of put that on himself also. I mean, and again, Shaheen was heavily involved. So this really was the first time we've seen Kyle and Camilla strike, really come together and do something active in terms of gameplay since the pre-merge at the Thomas boot.
Yeah.
So maybe it's more palatable once we kind of know the end result and we can look back fonder.
I always talk so positively about Vanuatu. Watching Vanuatu live was brutal. I mean, and we were young, obviously, and I don't actually think you weren't watching live yet, right? But like that was.
I had watched live, but for whatever reason, I didn't watch Vanuatu live. One of the very few seasons of the show that I did not watch live.
Yeah. And like that's one where I remember on the first watch, you're like, oh my God, just make it end. And then once you realize that Chris goes on to win that season, the storyline of Vanuatu is just unbelievable. Of Chris screwing up at the beginning, but then the women getting all the power in this island where they weren't welcome in the first place. It's a very male dominated island. And like the women don't even get to partake in that first ceremony and they get all the power. And then you watch that final seven when Chris is left and the women just start to like go at each other. I love that season. It's one of my all time favorite seasons. 48 is not going to get there. There's no way. It's not possible. But I do think that the slog with a very satisfying ending can be redeemable. And I know last week you said, I don't know if this is. I think this is salvageable. I do think it is because tonight's episode has me excited about the finale now. I wasn't excited about the finale. I'm excited about the finale. And I'm sorry for Shaheen that it had to be him. He was the sacrifice the island needed, right? He really was. Like, we needed him to go home here so that I could be excited about the finale that's coming up.
Yeah, do we want to spend some time on Shaheen here just as a player?
Let me throw this up first.
Sure.
With Panda, just because it's a super chat, Panda of Pizza. Joe is at the top spot for me. Kyle's a close two with Camilla as the dark horse. I think we'd both go 1-2 with Kyle, Camilla, and then Joe is the dark horse, but to each their own. So let's talk about Shaheen. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I thought Shaheen, he had this interesting dilemma about like, he thinks he can beat Joe and Eva. He thinks he's playing a better game. When should he make the move? What should he do? Like it seemed like he was pretty comfortable staying here and voting for Mitch. And I wonder like where Shaheen goes wrong. And it might be in his ego, honestly, a little bit. And not to saying he was playing a bad game, but when he gets voted out, the first words he has, well, the real first words he has is no one going to hug me? Or what's he say? I'm going to be pretty pissed if not one of you gets up to hug me, or at least one of you hug me, please. And then when he goes to hug Kyle, he says, "You just voted out the best player in the game," mm-hmm. which is kind of funny in one way, because he's now kind of almost giving that honor to Kyle in a way. He's almost passing the torch, like, "Hey, you got me. That was smart that you did, because I was going to beat you." But it was also a little bit of Shaheen. You had no idea what was going on. Kyle had actually gotten one on you earlier in the season, and you were ignoring the real threat here. There was so much attention on Joe and Eva as a duo, and that they were going to waltz it again, and that they're the leaders of this alliance. But it's almost like he was looking at the wrong people as the ones that could take him down the end, or that were going to beat him in Final Tribal Council, when in reality, it was Kyle and Camilla hiding in plain sight as the one to take him out. And I'm sure when he watches this back, or when he was told at Ponderosa the night of night 26, how it all went down, once he hears Final Tribal Council, he's going to be like, "Wow, I was just completely outplayed. There were people I was playing with that played way harder than me that I wasn't even paying attention to." And that really goes to show how great this move was and how great this relationship is from Kyle and Camilla, that someone who considers himself like the best player of the season, someone who considers himself very strategic and game oriented, and someone who I think was eventually going to make a move. He was going to do something. I think, you know, he had to, that he just got completely blindsided here.
And sometimes you just have to tip your cap, right? Like Shaheen, he's not a bad Survivor player. And I know there's going to be people who are going to sit here and go, "He didn't make a move. He just wasted his time." Like if Shaheen comes back, that look, Jeff loves Shaheen, right? He plays into what Jeff wants. So don't be surprised if you ever see this guy playing Survivor again. And there's going to be people when his name comes up that are like, "That's the guy who didn't do anything." And then he tries to finally bring up a name and he gets voted out immediately. He had no idea what was going on. He's not a bad Survivor player.
I think he's good. I think he's actually like, I think he's a player that, and this is when I argue when how you rank players.
Yeah.
And you can disagree with the way I rank players, but I go, on an all newbie season, how often is this person going to win? And look, it might be 5%, you know, one out of 20 is 5%. It might be slightly higher than that, but how many seasons can this person win on average? Or if you're stacking two people up, like if you were going to take, let's say, Joe and Shaheen, you put them on all newbie seasons randomly, who's going to win more games of Survivor? I would pick Shaheen, even though a lot of people think Joe is going to win this very season we're watching. I still don't think that. But Shaheen, to me, has that kind of mind, that next level thinking that leads to maybe winning more games than Joe. So I think Shaheen's a great player. I would actually love to see Shaheen play it again. He just got here. He really just, there were better players here that he did not see.
You can't protect against what you don't see coming. And like, you could sit here and you could say, "Well, how did he not see it coming?" Because Kyle and Camilla are that good. Like Kyle and Camilla are in the spy shack. They're in the spy grave, whatever the hell Tony called it. Like they're in that right now. You cannot see them coming.
Spy nest, right? Didn't we take the spy? We got some verticality on our spy shacks. And
we did.
Was that? Is that season 40 or was that game changes?
I think 40 had the nest. It was 34 that had the grave where he's literally
underground. He took them. Okay. Yeah. So we were ground level Kaggeon. Then we went to the sky bunker in game changers. Then we took it to the sky in what is it? War. That's right.
And like, they just don't know that this is happening. And that's okay. Like right now, Kyle and Camilla are playing such a subtle game. And I think this is especially masterful when you think about how obvious Joe and Eva's relationship is. You are playing on a season with maybe the most obvious pair of all time. This might be more obvious than Rob and Amber. Like this is so obvious, and this is
as obvious. They're not, you know, no PDAs.
That's true. But still, you watch this season and you know that they are so together. They will never go against each other. There's no way. At least the Rob father had some ideas there where it was like, maybe he will backstab her. Maybe Amber's playing him. Even Joe aren't playing each other. And that's very known. Kathy Vavrick O'Brien has that sentence where she says, "Are you playing her? Are you playing him? Like, what's going on?" And so when I watch this,
that's a great season, man. Thanks. I should go rewatch that.
When you watch this, you're not used to seeing this in the new era. You don't see people be so blatant with what they're doing. And that's honestly, I think, letting some people let their guard down. I think Shaheen got a little comfortable. I think he said, "Okay, I got Kyle. He know, like, Kyle and me are in the middle. Camilla and Mitch are over there." He didn't realize how close Kyle had gotten. And maybe if Joe and Eva weren't so obvious, there'd be a little bit more of like head on a swivel. but I don't think that the heads are on the swivel as much now. And that's also why I think at this final tribal council, Kyle or Camilla make the winning argument. I see it. They make the winning argument because it is going to blow some people's minds. I see the stupid comments here. James Barber and Matthew C. They get it wrong every now and then.
Don't hate on our commenters for.
I'm hating on them for having a bad take that agrees with you, which is also a bad take.
Not at all. Not at all. I guess a question we could ask, because this, we've mentioned this a couple times now, like Joe approaching Cheyenne in that way, like testing him, kind of threatening him, but not being specific on what he actually did wrong. I think Cheyenne handled it as best he could in terms of like the words he used and his demeanor. At least he didn't flip out. He didn't get super defensive. But this is something we talk about this in the traitor sometimes, especially we're playing werewolf. It's like someone accuses you of being a traitor or a werewolf and you go, it's not me. Here are all the reasons why. And you start defending yourself. And then people go, oh, you're acting real defensive. It must be you. And you're like, well, what do you want me to do? And then if you're like, guys, it's not me. You don't really try to defend yourself. Then that's also weird. It's like, why are you trying to defend yourself? And that's kind of what Cheyenne didn't do that much in defense mode here. I just wonder, Phil, like what could have Cheyenne done in this situation? Like, what does he do? Does he confront Joe harder? Does he come at Joe with like, tell me specifically what's going on? Cause someone could be spreading a lie about me. Is that the question he needs to ask? Does he go to Eva in some way and say, Eva, do you know something? Cause I'm so confused here. Like, throw me a bone. We've been on a tribe together since day one. It's day 23. You can trust me. And like, if I've done something wrong, let me know. Let me at least give me a chance to defend myself. Like, give me something. And maybe that digs his grave a little bit hard. I don't know I don't know if there's a right move here for Cheyenne to defend himself against what he doesn't even know he's being accused of, which makes the move all the better from Kyle and Camilla. But man, like, did he have any road out, I guess, is what I'm asking.
And you're just saying no. He's been playing with Joe since day one, like you said, right? He has had a relationship with Joe since day one. He has never lied to Joe, right? Maybe with the whole David situation, but he doesn't know how close Kyle and Camilla are. So he has no idea what's going on there, and he wanted David out of the game. He has no idea what is happening right now, and he's been straight up with Joe since day one. They have worked in lockstep. He knows that Joe plays this honorable whatever game. Cheyenne's sitting there going, dude, I don't know why you're coming at me. What is happening? I have no idea what your problem is at this point. And I think that if you can't defend against what you don't understand. Like if all of a sudden, like you get a call from Blake after this and Blake is screaming at you and you have no idea why, you can't even be defensive because you're just like, what do you want from me? And that's what Cheyenne did. He's like, what do you want? He didn't know how to argue it. Because he didn't know what he was being accused of.
But couldn't I go up to you and be like, yo, Blake just flipped out of me. I have zero idea what it is. Can like you fill me in at all? Because I'm like being real with you, Phil. We've done this podcast for 10 years. Can you just like, again, I don't know. Like, what's going on?
I'm going to be like, dude, I think he probably has an idol. I don't know, man. Like, you know, but like, that's what I'm saying. Like
Blake has an idol and that's why he's yelling at me.
Who does Cheyenne go to? Then he goes to everybody, right? We see him sit down with everybody in the shelter and say,
that was funny when he says
something's weird. Something's up. And they all like Eva can't help him because Eva also doesn't know what's going on. And I think Mitch, Camilla and Kyle all knew what was going on and they're not going to tell him. You're not going to give him anything. So he's screwed. The only one who can do it is Joe, but Joe has to specifically say, you have an idol. The problem is Joe is not a fan of Survivor. Joe is not that, he's not that knowledgeable about the game. And it showed in this episode because he was scared to say to Cheyenne, you have an idol. That's what I'm hearing because he was worried Cheyenne's going to play it. Well, if Cheyenne says, I do have an idol, then you turn around and say, maybe we should get rid of Kyle or Camilla, dude, because that's what they're spilling. And that's where I think Joe's just, you know, his inexperience with Survivor killed him tonight. And it actually hurt Cheyenne's game. Cause you could, like Jeremy Collins says, easier to play with people that understand the game than don't understand the game. This was playing poker with somebody that doesn't know how to play poker.
Yeah, I don't know if I would classify Joe in there as someone who completely doesn't understand the game. Not that he's like savvy, but I feel like when Jeremy was talking about it, he was talking about playing with like Drew Christie, you know, like playing with people who are going to be like play erratically and just completely out of line. And that's kind of impossible to play with. But I get what you're saying. Something else that's funny about this too, Phil, is, you know, we've talked in the post-merge about Kyle flipping or not flipping, and he doesn't want to flip on Joe. And there was even this stretch where it's like Kyle was flirting with flipping without actually flipping, so he could like not break his word, but like let information go to Camilla and they could pull something off in some manner. And I think he was successful with this tonight, and that he did not write Joe's name down. He did not vote Joe out of the game, but he flipped on Joe because he lied straight to his face, was completely dishonest with him, got rid of Joe's, you know, one of his number one allies, his number two ally, someone that was a threat to him, someone that had win equity in this game. Yet he didn't officially flip because he didn't write Joe's name down. So this very much fits Kyle's way of approaching the merge, in that I gave Joe my word. I have an emotional connection with him. Voting him out is going to be impossible, but I still want to win the game and play hard. How do I do that? How can I make that happen? And lying to him and voting out his ally so that he doesn't know about it, so you have something over him at Final Tribal Council, that is certainly one way of doing that. So kudos to Kyle here. And while we're giving out kudos,
oh, go ahead,
Billy and Willie.
Yeah, I mean, I want to, this will go into the Philly, but I do want to address on this, like, I think that Kyle did this in a way where if Mitch goes next or Camilla goes next and Joe has to make fire and loses, or Eva has to make fire and loses, Joe's not mad at Kyle in any way, shape, or form going to the jury, or if he's sitting next to him at Final Tribal Council. And that's going to be another thing where, like, right now as an audience, we're sitting here going, oh, my God. If Joe goes to the jury, Kyle's going to be in trouble because he's going to really push hard against Kyle. He doesn't know what he's pushing against. He doesn't feel like Kyle actually betrayed him. And Shaheen just went to the jury and doesn't know what happened.
Right. And I guess it would depend on when Joe goes there. If Joe does end up on the jury, I think if he ends up at the jury after, you know, if it's from fire making, I think that's fine. If they flip on Joe at Final Five, I could see him being kind of like, all right, guys, like, what happened here?
Yeah.
What about gets a four and figure it out?
Yeah.
It's funny because it's like we didn't get to four and figure it out, but Joe participated in the vote against Shaheen.
Yeah. And so I'm actually going to go and say that the Philly should go to Camilla here, not Kyle, because she's the one who really had to put her game on the line here. If this doesn't work, she goes home. If this plan backfires, and I know Kyle came up with it, but Kyle had less to lose because of the out that he was going to have, where if it blows up, he can turn around and say, that's what Camilla told me. I don't know what else you want from me. That's what she told me. Take it for what you will. Now Camilla goes home because she's being seen as sneaky. I'm going to give it to Camilla.
See, I would argue that makes it even more a Philly for Kyle, because Kyle came up with a plan in that it puts Camilla's game at risk and it gives himself an out baked into the plan, and that he cooked it up.
True.
I mean, that's pretty impressive.
It's true.
To cook up the plan in a way where Camilla has no choice but to do it, because the alternative here is just vote out Mitch. And we know, like, that's not what you want. You need to keep Mitch around as a number at Final Five and potentially bring him to Final Tribal Council or go against him in fire. So Camilla has no choice but to agree, but it puts him in a position where he has an out. He has an out, and he came up with it. So I would push back.
I don't say this often, but you've convinced me. Kyle gets the Philly. Good job, Will. That was good. I can't even really argue it. That's a good pitch. I like that.
All right. Well, now who gets the Willy?
I think it's got to be Joe. He got duped.
I think it is Joe. Yeah. I think I was considering giving Joe the Willy when he won immunity in the final eight, and everyone was saying he had the best episode in his front running. We're giving it to Joe.
We're giving it to Joe. Sorry, bud.
I think he's fallen. Joe winning to me would have been very unlikely heading into this episode. I think after this episode, like, I really, really do not see it. And I know he got the personal content, but I think that was coming anyway. And also part of why I kept Joe as a small, like a small, gave him a small chance to win still was because we hadn't heard his story about his sister and about the domestic violence. That was a big thing in the preseason that we talked about. It was all his interviews. And we were kind of waiting, when is this going to hit the TV show? People watching at home that don't do preseason stuff, they have no idea about this. And I kind of thought, uh-oh, like if we're not hearing this until the finale, if this doesn't come up, then he probably, like, that's good reason for him to win. Like if he brings it up at Final Tribal Council, that's like going to be tough. So the fact we get it here in the penultimate episode, it's like we can dedicate time to it. We can appreciate it. We can have a really emotional, amazing scene, but we're not like ending our show this episode. So that's kind of been, that story's been told. We got, I mean, it was really awesome, but it doesn't have to carry as much weight in a finale. So I think Joe is, I don't think he's winning. I really don't.
After this week, this is where I sit on percentages. I'm giving Kyle 50 because I think he beats Camilla, but he also still has to get to final three. And if Camilla gets there and he doesn't, I think she wins. So I'm going to give Camilla 35 because either one of them can make the argument, but I'm still going to give Joe a 15% chance, which might seem high, but here's my reason why. If he goes to the end with Mitch and Eva, it's over. He wins so easily. It's not even going to be close because right now Mitch's game, he hasn't been able to make the move. And I don't think, at least from what we're watching, he's not going to be the one who makes the argument of, I made this move to get Shaheen out of the game. Like he was come to on that. And I don't know if they're going to respect that game. We still have heard people say that they're worried about sitting next to Mitch, but I don't know about that. So I will say that Joe cleans up there. And since that is a scenario that could be likely because he could win easily two more immunity challenges, take Eva with him, throw Mitch in fire. Mitch is a massive fan of Survivor. He wins the fire making challenge. That's your final three. But I think that Kyle or Camilla is more likely to win. So I'm going to go 50, 35, 15, and then Mitch and Eva are drawn dead.
All right. Can you put those into American betting odds, please?
Yeah. Well, 50% is plus 100.
Right. That I know. That's easy.
Yeah, that one's easy. Let me get this real quick. I'm pulling it up. So implied probability, 35%, American odds. That'll give you plus 185 on Camilla. And that'll give you plus 566 on Joe.
That sounds about right, Phil.
I do this for a living.
No, you don't.
I pretty much do.
You don't make lines.
I don't make lines, but I don't make lines, but I write about the lines so much. And I'm so involved with lines literally like 50 hours a week that, yeah, I could figure out what it should be. And I feel like that is probably right. Last week, Blake had it as minus 3,600 plus 6,500 for Kyle. That would be like the Warriors being down 15 in game five, down 3-1.
Down 15 Steph Curry's right now.
Out, Steph Curry's out. And they'd be like plus 6,500 to win that series. That's how bad his odds were.
Should we get a live line on the series odds? I don't know. I think if the Warriors pull this game out somehow tonight and Steph comes back for game six at home, they're going to win that. And then they're going to take that momentum into game seven. It's crazy how bad the Warriors are without Steph. I mean, this is like more evidence of like how great Steph is.
Meanwhile, the Celtics win by 25 without Tatum. It's like maybe they didn't need him just throwing up threes nonstop. Tatum, obviously, but it's just
I feel bad, but like they can at least win a playoff game without him. They can't win. We have the number one rated offense with Steph, and we have the last place offense without him on the court.
That's crazy.
It's actually insane.
That's crazy. So I agree with your Willie there. I think it has to go to Joe. I really do. I think that's where it stands. So, I mean, it'll be interesting. So tomorrow, I've already said, and we're not done with the podcast here. I'm just more updating everybody. So tomorrow, 1:30, I'll be doing predictions, power rankings with Tommy Smokes from Barstool. So that'll be tomorrow at 1:30. And then Blake and I are still going to do Digging Deeper this week. It's just going to get moved to 1 o'clock on Friday. So we're just moving that date, and then there won't be anything this weekend. So there's still going to be all of our episodes. McKenna and John are still going to do Survivor Rewind. Like all that's going to happen. And I am curious to hear like what Tommy Smoke says, because Tommy right now, again, is on a podcast with Sam, and Sam is probably spewing nothing but facts. So Tommy might come in here tomorrow. Like
he's going to be so, well educated.
So ready to go. I love that. Thank you. Will found what we needed, which is the Steph actual graphic of first and then 30th. That's so funny.
Insane.
Crazy. But yeah, and then I'm curious what Blake will say, because Blake has not watched the episode yet, so I'm sure he's still probably thinking that Joe's going to win. I'm curious if he's still as confident. He is the type of person who will fall for the audio editing that took place. You know, but look,
he's also one to double down too.
Yeah, he is. He is.
Like,
he
be is. Like, nope, Joe's winning, and then Joe doesn't win. He goes, whatever. But, you know.
And look,
We could be wrong, Phil, but Joe could still win. But like, I just it feels like it's so much more Kyle and Camilla's season, especially.
The last time that I missed a winner this badly, if Joe ends up winning, is when Marianne won. Because I didn't see that until the Omer situation. And I think a lot of people started seeing that earlier than me. But even Gabler, I talked about it all the time. If Jesse's not there, Gabler's going to win. And people thought I was nuts, right? Like, Jam Jam was so obvious. D was so obvious. 46, like, Kenzie, I kept feeling like she was getting a better edit than Charlie. Charlie got more content, but Kenzie had the better edit. 47, Rachel's move there when Annika went home in the pre-merge. I felt it. Look, I feel like there's a history here of us kind of figuring it out. Maybe we're wrong this time. It's happened before. But if I'm a betting man, I am saying that Kyle or Camilla is coming out of this. But I'm not super confident in which one of those two it's going to be. I think that the people who were calling Camilla Purple Camilla earlier in the season are absolutely delusional, out of their mind, no idea what's going on. And I think that this is very much between both of them, because I think that the edit's been good. The one thing I'm giving Kyle, and I know that it happened early on, and I know, Will, you're probably going to say, well, they would show that anyway. Episode one, when they went to that challenge and he broke his glass and he helped Kevin anyway, they gave him such a hero moment with that. And that might've been his episode one winner moment. It really might
be. Yeah, no, I'm with you there. I think, I don't know. Camilla's harder for me. Like, I do think it's Kyle or Camilla, but like, there was such backlash from Erica winning 41. And then we've seen them treat female winners better since then. It feels like D was very prominent. Kenzie, maybe not like the most prominent, but she got a lot, especially for playing a social game and not a very strategic game. Like, we've got to see quite a bit of Kenzie. So Marianne was a unique one for sure, but I don't know if they would like treat Camilla like this editing wise if she ends up winning.
And you know, I love going confessional, so let's do it. You ready?
Yeah.
Kyle, 77. Okay. 77. Eva, 65. Third place, Camilla, 59.
Interesting.
Yeah, 59.
It's,
and then
confessional. Maybe it's the way she, I don't know. And I wasn't saying that like she's been totally like Erica or like totally purpled or anything, but it just doesn't feel as though she's been as prominent, especially if it's between her and Kyle, as we're saying. It just seems like Kyle has been the focal point of that relationship. And if we get the winner from that duo, you would think it would be the more prominent one of the duo.
And I feel like when I look at this with Camilla from episodes 5 through 9, she went 3-2-1-7-1. That's when I think people lost her a little bit, right? They were like, what's going on? She had one good episode. I haven't heard from her much. But now in the last two, 11 and 12, which is up there with what Kyle's doing, like that's 23 confessionals. That's more than what Kyle has in the last two combined. That's,
oh, she's 11 and 12 in the last two episodes.
Yeah,
see, it doesn't feel like it, so maybe it's I don't know.
I felt like she was much more prominent tonight than she was last
tonight year. Yes, I could feel it a little bit tonight, because this plan was, you know, a lot was riding on her for it. I don't remember that last week, her having 11 confessionals,
because I don't feel like anything last week mattered. That was the problem. Everybody was just talking, but it didn't matter. This week it felt like it mattered, like Kyle, Camilla, Joe, every confessional. I cared
just
about
out on. Last week we were just yeah. out
we were just yeah. so down, man. We really were. But look, I'm excited for the finale next week. I think next week's finale will be a good time. I'm ready to hear everybody talk. Let me do this, because no one's given it to him. And if him or his loved ones or anybody are listening an hour and 8 minutes in, give me something positive about Mitch here. What's going on with Mitch? Because he's barely in this episode. He's been the quietest on the season for a while now. He's had 44 confessionals. The next lowest left in the game is 55 with Joe. Like, give me a pitch for like what went wrong for Mitch. And why, if it had gone right, Mitch is somebody who could have won this game. Because I don't feel like he's a zero vote finalist every season, but that's what it feels like right now.
It's hard to say, because we haven't seen a lot of his thought process or thinking. It's like we get little spurts of it. We get little insights here and there. And that's tough to build a whole narrative or a whole reason for like why his game isn't going a certain way. So, I mean, tonight we get this frustration that like, oh my gosh, why is Shaheen so stupid fueling up the guy we want to take out? But it's like, do you really want to take him out? Why didn't you take him out last week? And I guess that's fair for Mitch. Last week he was down. He's like, let's flip. And then Kyle said, you know, we're not going to do that. Or Kyle and Shaheen together said, we're not going to do that. Or Kyle Camilla got together and said, let's wait till six, which I don't really buy that they were waiting until six. I don't think this was a plan, because it seems like Kyle came up with this plan once Shaheen was mentioning a willingness to turn, saying, hey, we should target Eva. That can be our move. Let's do that. Or we can't beat Joe currently, or why are we not doing it? Why are we just sitting around? And then Kyle came up with this plan. It doesn't seem predetermined to me that Kyle and Camilla were saying at six, let's do this. Mm-hmm. So I think there was a real possibility at seven, and it felt that way in the episode. And that's why we were maybe so let down by it. So maybe Mitch has a case there, but if I'm looking at final eight, wasn't Mitch the one who said, like, I just don't trust Star. I can't make this move. And it's like, we were all shaking our heads. Like, why didn't Mitch, Star, Mary, Camilla get together and force a 4-4? And then at that point, you're forcing Kyle's hand. Like, why didn't that happen? And a big reason, at least narratively in that episode, was that Mitch could not trust Star for whatever reason. And he says, oh, you're supposed to make a move. When you're out here, it's hard. And it's like, that might have been his mistake. If he makes that move there, his game is in a different spot, because maybe we're sitting here saying he has a chance to win because he actually took the reins. He actually made an active choice. And we say this all the time. Like, you can get voted out seventh or eighth, but have a better shot at winning than whoever gets second place or third place. You have to make active choices in the game. You're not just going to sit around and end up winning. That's never going to happen.
Yeah.
So to me, I think he has himself to blame. I really do.
I think
what happened, we're getting something left out with like why he didn't trust Star, because it was like, why don't you push the 4-4? You know, this other foursome is way tighter. This is your chance, and go for it. And they didn't. So that's on those four players for not doing that.
I think what happened with Mitch is that at his initial tribal councils, pretty much everything just kept going wrong, right? The charity vote, he wasn't aware of what was going on. Like, the Bianca vote, he was at that one. Yeah, he didn't know what was going on, right? And I think once that starts to happen, and those are your first experiences at tribal, you do start to play a little scared, right? And I think Mitch's game might have changed from I'm in control to just survive another day until you can make your move. And I think that playing that style of game is okay, but he's never had the opportunity to make that move. And I think that Mitch kind of got caught on his heels. And I think he started playing for one more day rather than starting to play for win. And I could be wrong on that. Maybe he thought he could win the whole time, but I feel like Mitch is a likable enough guy with good enough of a story who would be able to pitch himself at Final Tribal if he had the argument to make. And I think he started to trust that, saying, just make it one more day and then you can make your move. Make it one more day, then make your move. We hear him say tonight, get to six, then you can make your move. But now if you don't have a move to make and somebody else is going to be able to take credit for it, you can't win because you didn't do anything before that. And I think he got caught on his heels and he just never was able to get back on his toes.
Yes, I think it's that. It's you couldn't. I mean, at this point, it's too late. Like, this wasn't his move at Final Six. I know he participated in it. He wrote Shaheen's name down. But if he was going to do anything, it had to come earlier.
Absolutely. So, Tegwith and I, Tegwith, the newest specialist, the two of us on Sunday, we went through our Survivor 50 cast rumors and predictions, right? So we predicted who we think the 20 castaways on Survivor 50 will be based on rumors that are out there right now. Nothing spoiled. There's no official anything. You have, if you want to go watch that video, there's a link in that video that will allow you to enter a contest. And I have all the prizes somewhere. My wife moved them because she cleaned this room. It's not the book back here, but if you haven't listened to the interview I did with Joseph and Kate, you should check that out. They wrote a book about Survivor, and it's really good. So check it out. But we talked about Survivor 50. You have until May 18th at 1 p.m. to submit who you think is going to be on the cast of Survivor 50. And the reason why I'm bringing up Survivor 50 here, first of all, go do that. Share that link to whoever you want. Anybody can enter. It's a lot of fun. Should be a lot of fun. The reason why I bring that up is we got our final voting category tonight.
And just one category. Is that it? Is that really it?
One category, and it was, do you want idols or do you not want idols? And here's my question to you, Will. Why were idols not included in advantages? And if they weren't going to be included in advantages, why were we not told that they weren't included in advantages? Because I think of an idol as an advantage. And here's my thing. I was telling everybody when that advantage thing came out, vote for the lowest level because you're still going to get more advantages than you want, right? And you were like, well, maybe the middle one. And a lot of people were like, let's do the middle one because at least we'll get idols, whatever. They weren't even counting idols. So what is dynamic in that situation then? Well, just throw everything at the wall?
No, I don't know if they're not counting idols because there are two different questions. One is, how many advantages should there be? And this question is, should this particular specific advantage be in the game or not? And obviously it should be. This was really, I mean, is that really, that's a wrap on Survivor 50 votes. I think this falls pretty much flat as like, what did the fans really decide? I think maybe there's one cool thing I can think of, and that's the tribe colors. Other than that, I really don't care. I mean,
fire making is probably the biggest one. But
no, like, I was joking. Yes, I know. Fire making is the main one. Other than that, like the other ones are like, we don't really care, right? Final mini challenge, I guess, like whatever. Tribe colors already made fun of that. Idols or no idols, that's a literal joke. Everyone's going to vote idols. And that's not what, it's a straw, it almost feels like it's a straw man argument, as if you've all been asking for no idols. Like, fine, here's your chance. It's like, no one's been saying no idols. We've been saying fewer idols, fewer advantages. They did put that in there. And then the ones like that, like dynamic gameplay, or how many advantages should there be? Like, we don't really have any metric. Like, there's no way to quantify that at all. So it's completely subjective. We don't know where they're going to go with that. So like, for me, this has been like, there's one interesting thing here, and that's fire making.
Alexa has texted me like two times all season, and she texted me tonight and she said, I feel like they've backed us into a corner. And you have to think about like the order of these. Had they asked us as the second week or the second time they did the votes, do you want idols or no? Everybody would have said yes, because these idols have been in the game literally since season 11. You're not going to get more than 50% of the vote. If there's only two options, you're not going to get more than 50% of the vote that says no. That's not going to happen. And then if you ask how many advantages do you want, now more people are going to vote for less because they've already voted for yes on idols. A lot of people were voting in that middle tier because they want idols, because they do want some of these old school advantages. That's what they thought was imparted in this, or whatever the word is. That's not the case though. And I don't like the way this was done. I feel like this was kind of like a bait and switch a little bit. Like,
I don't think that way in terms, I just think it's a lame question because the answer we know
is yes.
That's why it's lame. I don't think mixing it in with advantages or that is like, I don't really care because again, we don't know what those levels are. Like what is dynamic? What is, I don't even know the names of the other two because it was
I can't remember either.
Dynamic twists. No, that's not what it's like. So I don't know. I wish there was more to vote on. I threw up a comment here earlier. Let us vote on two tribes or three tribes. I think that one is particularly interesting. Then there's final two or final three. Those are both from James Barber. I think that's what's tough with that one is because that alters the cast size. Yes. Now with two or three tribes, if you're doing 18 people, then you can do three tribes of six or two tribes of nine. The gender difference wouldn't be even if you do two tribes of nine, but that we've seen that before, at least like on Edge of Extinction. So like that one, I feel like could have easily been done without changing your cast. Final two or final three does come down to like your cast size and production days. And I do think that we've heavily lived in final three for so long that that's probably something they did not want to have changed.
We've talked about it. Final three is like, at this point probably are better, and we haven't seen a final two since Kageon, and the last time we saw a final two before that was Token Chains. Like, give up the final two ghost at this point. Like, it's not happening.
Yeah, it's not happening. I do think that the amount of tribes would have been that would have been fun.
I agree with that. So yeah, this was a disappointing last vote. Yes, vote for idols. Obviously vote for idols. Vote for idols. Vote for idols. Like, idols have been in the game since season 11. We don't want no idols. We just want fewer, like Will said. Like, that's what we're looking for here. So look, that was a little disappointing. We could still get a good cast. We're going to be doing so much stuff this off season about you know, the Survivor 50 cast and things like that. Once that eventually gets like officially leaked, right, unofficially released, we'll be talking about it just like we did back with Game Changers and Winners at War and all that. And we'll dive in, and we have a whole couple of series actually planned for the off season, which is going to be a lot of fun, and I can't wait to dive into them. So 50 overall is going to work, right? I'm excited for 50. I'm so pumped. But
I don't know. The fans might just ruin it, Phil.
They're just worrying.
Because with all these big decisions the fans have had, yeah, the season sucks now, Jeff can be like, the fans ruined it. Yeah. It's like, you gave us nothing to vote on.
Nothing. You gave us nothing. And that's my biggest thing, right, is like, in the hands of the fans, we voted, what, 3 or 4 different weeks, and we voted on like 7 or 8 things that really we didn't care that much about, with the exception of fire making. Whatever. Yeah,
it feels kind of patronizing.
Really a good cast. It does. It
feels kind of like, oh man, like, you really were going to give us all this power, but like, we're not going to let you vote on cast, even though we've let you do that in the past. Like, it's not like that was something out of the realm of like reality. Like, we've done that before. So for them to say hands of the fans and then not even offer the cast out, it's kind of like, all right, well, that's kind of a slight to us. You don't trust us to look. Well, you put the pool together, then we'll vote. We've done that before. If you're calling the season hands of the fans, that should be the first thing. They table that, whatever. And then we're not voting on number of tribes. Like, we're not voting on, I don't know. It feels like we're not voting on anything tangible either. Like, the way they're all phrased is very like cryptic in a way where it's like, I don't
want just this one in fire making feel like the only two. Where I know you grew up in San Francisco. Did your dad ever let you drive when you were a kid? You ever do that?
What do you mean, let me drive? Like,
so like, yeah, when I was growing up, I lived on a cul-de-sac. So like, you know, when you're 5 or 6 years old, if there's nobody on the road, but I'd be like, oh, you want to like drive? Like, you know, you go like 15 miles an hour down the road and you sit on your dad's lap and you drive the car, right?
Yeah, I think. Yeah.
Sure. Have you ever driven, right? So your dad lets you drive. Well, you're holding the wheel up here and you're looking over. Your dad's got his foot on the pedal. He's got 2 hands on the bottom of the wheel, making sure you steer. That's literally what they did for us this time. That is, they let us drive.
I like that. I wasn't immediately sure where you're going with that one. And then it clicked and I was like, okay, yeah, that's a good analogy there, Phil. Yeah. Well done.
Thank you. Is that enough? Have we done it? Have we covered it?
I think so. This was a fun episode. Again, I don't think this episode redeems the season, but yeah.
But it's good. All right, cool. All right, well, like I said, tomorrow, 1:30 p.m. Eastern time, I'm live with Tommy Smokes predicting the finale of the episode. Follow us on social media because there's a chance that time might change, or put the bell on, whatever you have to do here on YouTube. It could be any time really between 1 and 2. We haven't officially figured it out, so we locked in 1:30 for now, but it could change. And then on Friday, I'll be live at 1 o'clock with Blake doing Digging Deeper. Not the final Digging Deeper, because we will do one after the season. And then next Wednesday, Will and I will be back after the episode recapping the finale. Blake and I will do Digging Deeper. McKenna and John got 2 Survivor Rewinds left. And then I got a 1 week vacation, and hopefully the Survivor 50 cast doesn't get leaked during then, because I'm not bringing my laptop. I'm not bringing my microphone. I'm taking a real vacation because I podcasted way too much. So whenever that does get unofficially released,
it's literally going to be when you're on vacation. So
you and Blake and Tegwith,
we'll hold down the fort for you.
Yeah. You guys go for it. You know how to do it. I'm all for that. And we can come back, and we're going to have so much off-season stuff planned anyway that it's fine. But thank you all so much for listening to this episode. I hope you enjoyed it. Like this video, subscribe to the channel, become a patron, patreon.com/thespecialist. We are into starting next week, we are into Samoa. So we're finishing up token chains for Every Season Matters, getting into Samoa. We've done some rock draws. Me and John are going through all the Mission Impossible movies over there to get ready for the final reckoning. So that's been a lot of fun. We got Survivor Rewind, going through Australian Survivor, talking about Blood versus Water, which I know is not a selling point, but it's there anyway. I'll have my after show out tomorrow. And yeah, that's everything that's going on Patreon. It's going to be a great time. Really looking forward to the end of this season and what we have in store for the off season. So like this video, subscribe to the channel. Go over to that Survivor 50 video and make sure you submit what you want or what you think the 50 cast will be, and you could win a prize. Otherwise, I'll see you all tomorrow, 1:30 p.m. Eastern time.
See ya.
Hey, Central Ohio. The Nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the Nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.